This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Tourism is a big industry for the greater La Crosse area, with people visiting the area for the natural beauty of the Mississippi River to the downtown shops and citywide festivals. Now the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse is creating a Tourism Research Institute to help local businesses and community leaders continue to grow the industry. Joining us to talk about the new program and what it could mean for the community are Daniel Plunkett, director of UWL's new Tourism Research Institute, and Brent Hannafel, marketing director at Explore La Crosse. And first, Daniel, if you could just explain, you know, what the Tourism Research Institute is.
So the Tourism Research Institute is an organization or an institute that was developed with the primary purpose of conducting tourism and recreation related research. So it's a fairly broad mission to not sort of alienate any organizations. But the idea is that in particular with tourism and the growth of tourism locally and all over the world really, is that research can be sort of a tool to help organizations better understand their visitors, meet not only the visitor needs, but also the organizational needs as well.
And is the university already doing any tourism-related research?
So, the interesting thing with the Institute is the research that the Institute conducts is probably already done on a regular, or is done already on a regular basis through the faculty members. We have several faculty members that are from various departments across campus, and then sort of their day-to-day activities and their job responsibilities, they're already conducting research. So we have one faculty member that has done some research on trout fishermen and their visits to the Driftless region. Tourism related. So we do a lot of tourism related research already. The benefit of having the Institute now is we sort of have an entity that identifies us as a resource specific for tourism and recreation related research.
Yeah, and can you give more examples of, you know, the kinds of questions you guys will be kind of asking or looking at? You know, you mentioned trout fishermen, but are there other, areas that you have kind of identified?
So that's it's a very loaded question, because behind that, the Research Institute is the idea that we have the ability, because we have so many faculty that are involved with it, that we can really tailor the research to the needs of an organization. I could probably sit here all day and list everything that we could do. But if you want to look at questions, if we look at, you know, questions for an organization like a convention visitors bureau, is we can ask questions about a visitor experience, what they did while they were here, how they gathered information to learn more about their experience prior to arrival, their preferences in terms of facilities, whether it's, you know, hotels, restaurants, while they're here, what they liked about the area, what gave them a positive experience, what were some of the aspects of their experience that were not as positive, and that's always very important in research, because if we can identify what it is that's maybe detracting from a visitor's experience, that information is helpful for organizations to be able to make improvements.
And Brent, from your perspective, from the Convention and Visitors Bureau side or Explore La Crosse, you know, how could this sort of research help the La Crosse area?
Well, I think it's a good tool for businesses, entrepreneurs, things like that. The tourist and tourism in general is, you know, a big part of people's business, even if they know it or not. So this can allow them to, you know, kind of look at, you know, some research on who's coming to their business, why they're coming. Because in reality, you know, you really only have to identify those 500 people that could be customers for your entire life. And those are the people that can support you. So this institute kind of drills down on that sort of information, so you're not wasting money in advertising, you're not wasting time on various issues. So it just kind of allows you to sort of funnel your ideas and come away with a better understanding of the guest.
And is that something that the average local business could do without maybe the help of something like the Research Institute?
Hopefully businesses are collecting this information. But with this sort of institute, it gives you the academic background, some of those things you don't think about day to day, just because businesses are busy doing their job, you know, supporting their customers, helping them out. They don't have time to look at this sort of stuff. So it's something that, you know, they might be spending $10,000 in advertising. They might be able to look at this information, collect some data, and really utilize that money in a proper way to the correct audience.
And Daniel, you know, why did UWL want to start this program here? You know, why is it a good fit for the community?
Well, we initially thought about developing an institute like this is because we did see the growth in tourism in the area. There's all of a sudden a lot of publicity about what was happening in terms of development in the area, the hotels going up. And, you know, that's locally was pretty new and exciting, but you know it's been happening in a lot of places. And you know with that growth, actually, I've had conversations with Brent when we thought of this initial idea to discuss whether or not an institute would be beneficial locally, because as Brent said, as you pointed out, as whether or not people could do this on their own, you know, that's what most organizations do. They sort of see something happening and decide to maybe make a decision. What happens sometimes is sometimes you're right, and based off of your observations, you make the right decisions. Sometimes though, you utilize more resources, particularly financial resources, trying to guess at what the right thing to do is. And we realized that if we created an institute, we could be a resource where, as opposed to guessing and hoping you're right, that organizations can use the institute as a resource to, we gather the information for you, we tell you what's happening, what your visitors are thinking, what your potential visitors are looking for, and also too, you know, what your residents think about tourism, because that's also very important. That way it sort of takes the guessing out of it, because you're using research as a way to help you make decisions.
Are there other tourism research institutes that maybe you're using as a model?
So actually there's a lot of tourism research institutes. If you look even across the United States, you're going to find research institutes. Some research organizations are private companies, but there's a lot of universities across the country that have research institutes. Even other public organizations, Travel Wisconsin does its own research as well. You know, the benefit of having a locally based institute is, you know, a lot of those organizations you don't know they exist, and you have to go out and try to find them. It could also be a little more costly to have an organization that's, say, based in Florida do your research here locally, because they're going to need to have more financial resources in order to come to your location to do research as well. So that's sort of the benefit of locally. You don't have to go too far to find a place that's going to be able to help you meet your needs.
And looking at these other institutes, how are they able to help their communities, their local communities? Do you have any examples?
So you put me on the spot trying to know their exact names. Usually they're University of something Institute. Our model is sort of based off of how any other university institute's model is based, is where our sort of competitive advantage is that we have so many faculty with diverse backgrounds in terms of their research experience that are a part of the institute, where if you're looking for any research related to recreation or tourism, there's probably someone that's a member of the institute that has an expertise to meet your need. And that's sort of the overarching model we took from other universities, is that if you can pool together a bunch of people with different research backgrounds and skill sets, that you're able to really work with any organization to help them out, whether it's, you know, economic impacts, or if you're looking at developing new tourism opportunities or attractions, you know, what's that going to look like? How are people going to respond to it? You know, if you just want to understand what needs to be changed, pretty much any of that can be accomplished through the Institute.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the new Tourism Research Institute at UW-La Crosse and how it could help businesses and community leaders expand the industry. We're here with Daniel Plunkett, director of the new Tourism Research Institute, and Brent Hannafel from the La Crosse County Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Brent, you know, what are the things that we already know about tourism in the La Crosse area? You know, what are some of the trends or maybe reasons for tourism in the area?
Well, a lot of our attractions are natural attractions. You know, the bluffs, the river, the Great River Road. Those are the sort of things that draw people to the area and probably the most noticeable. You know, in the last couple of years, about 3 years ago, we went through a whole brand change. And with that, there was research done to talk about the sort of traveler we have. You know, we identified one as sort of an adventurer, you know, potentially a bicyclist, potentially a hiker. So those are sort of tools that were developed out of that sort of a campaign. So we found it pretty useful, and we've been using that and growing with it the last 3 years about. And as you can see, I think a lot of that has maybe contributed to some of the new, new revigoration of the area with hotels, but also people just talking about the area.
And, you know, from your perspective, from the Explore La Crosse perspective, you know, how are you guys hoping to utilize the new Tourism Research Institute?
Well, we have about 9 employees at Explore La Crosse. We have a lot of data coming in. We're collecting it. We're collecting it from our website. We're collecting it from people signing up for an e-newsletter. We're collecting it from visitors' guides. We distribute over 100,000 visitors' guide, printed piece, that's still valuable to every single state in the United States, Canada, a few international countries. So we have all these different points of contact of people contacting us through 9 individuals. So we might use this institute to kind of look at all this data that we're collecting and maybe kind of identify some key tools that we could use moving forward to attract the right people.
And Daniel, you know, how has tourism, I don't know, started to change in the La Crosse area? Do you think that there are any trends that you guys are seeing that you're interested in kind of exploring more?
Well, I'm not sure necessarily how much it's changed. As Brent sort of pointed out, the big reason that people come here are the natural attractions, and they've always been here. What's maybe changed is, you know, more people now know about the area, more so the accessibility of the area has definitely become a little bit easier. You know, we have an airport, which is very important. You have the river cruises that are coming to the area. Of course, the I-90. So access to the area definitely has always helped. And as that, you know, as the area continues to be more accessible, more people are going to come here. I'd say, you know, social media has probably helped a lot in marketing efforts of Explore La Crosse, getting the word out there. And really, as Brent sort of said, it's you're targeting those customers that are going to have an experience here, enjoy their time, and want to come back. And not only do you get those people to come back, but they spread word of mouth. They tell friends and family about the area, which leads to more visitors as well.
Yeah, and Brent, from your perspective, how do you think tourism has changed or maybe is changing?
Well, I can tell you from my personal experience is that, you know, we're really taking to heart the local attractions, the local food, the local feeling, and just kind of showcasing what's already in our backyard. You know, there's festivals that's been around for 45 years, you know, Great River Folk Festival, you know, Oktoberfest, Artspire, which is a brand new event, Midwest Music Fest, which is, you know, year 2 here. I mean, it's just something that we're taking an effort to just get the word out and tell the story of the La Crosse area and, you know, what's already here. And that's easy, you know, it's great in La Crosse.
If tourism is maybe already expanding or improving, you know, I guess why, from your perspective, Brent, is an institute needed? You know, maybe our business already doing the right things?
Yeah, businesses are adapting. I mean, in the news, you've seen it, you know, people talk about the new the new hotels, roads, infrastructure, you know, geared towards the tourists. So it's something that you will see more businesses adapting to it and thinking about how they can attract that market, especially with the new boats that are going to be coming through this summer and the investments that are going to be going on in, down at Riverside Park eventually. The city's changing specifically to gear towards tourists, but also a more welcoming community for locals alike.
And Daniel, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what departments at UWL are involved in the new Tourism Research Institute?
So currently, several of the faculty from the Recreation Management and Therapeutic Recreation Department are involved in there. I believe we have five faculty total from that department that cover all aspects of recreation as well as tourism. We also have a few professors from the economics department who can specialize in studies such as economic impact studies. We do have a professor from the marketing department. So as Brent was mentioning, that they're gathering all of this data from people, traffic through their websites in particular. This individual sort of has an expertise in modeling big data. So it's you get all this data and it's sort of overwhelming to look at, and his expertise is being able to, you know, condense that data and look at it as a few variables as opposed to millions of data points. And we also have an individual who is a part of the history department and knows the history of La Crosse as well as the history of biking in the community, so definitely has that local expertise as well as some experience in grant writing in particular. So it's sort of, you know, we talk about recreation and tourism as being the focus, but another sort of area of expertise that faculty members bring is the ability to write grants. So not only just writing individual grants, but helping organizations write grants that have a research component to them.
And how important is that sort of funding to this institute? You know, is that going to be maybe the main source or a main source of funding for some of this research?
So funding is going to be incredibly important. Without some sort of funding, the institute probably wouldn't survive. And there's sort of two main types of funding. One is contracts with organizations to obtain funding to do some of the research, or as I just sort of mentioned, grant opportunities. So most organizations are aware of grants that could be available to them, or maybe aren't aware of grants that they could apply for. And a lot of grants that are accessible to organizations generally have a research component to them, either an upfront, you know, research component justifying the need for some sort of funding, or research in order to measure outcomes associated with what was done with the grant. And a lot of times sort of organizations might not have someone that's experienced with doing that research, and then through that grant, part of the funding can be used to help them do that research.
And how will the students be involved at the new institute?
So students can and will be involved in sort of a variety of ways. So one way we're envisioning students can be involved is the institute can be sort of a great experience for graduate students, for example. So graduate assistants who, through the process of obtaining their master's, are usually involved in research, or at least learning about research in some way. So a great opportunity for graduate assistants is to be a part of a project where they can work on designing a study, collecting the data, analyzing the data, and writing reports and disseminating the results for organizations. Undergraduates can be involved in similar ways if they're interested in research as well. There's also opportunities, depending on sort of the scope of the project and when it's happening, is to involve entire classes in the process of doing research. If a project were to fall over a semester, we have research methods courses where students are learning about conducting research, and you know, it provides a great opportunity where a whole class can work together on a project and help out an organization, and at the end of the semester, share with them the results that were obtained. And, you know, just another sort of, it's a goal of the Institute, but it's really a benefit of the Institute, is that the research that we do collect, and, you know, the results that we find for organizations, is we can use that as class material to show students, this is what's going on right now. This is what's happening in terms of recreation or tourism, and this is why it's important for you to know as you go out and look to find a career in tourism. And that sort of ties along with something else we've done in the recreation management program, is we've added a tourism emphasis to our program, where students can come into our program, take some core classes that are important to any tourism or recreation professional, but then take four classes that are very specific to tourism, to learn more about the field if they're interested in a tourism-related career.
UWL Professor Daniel Plunkett is here with us today to talk about UWL's new Tourism Research Institute and how it could help expand tourism industry in the Cooley region. He's joined by Brent Hannafol from Explore La Crosse. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on regional tourism. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about regional tourism in light of a new Tourism Research Institute opening at UW-La Crosse. The new program hopes to partner with local businesses to better understand trends in tourism in the greater La Crosse area. Joining us are Daniel Plunkett, director of the new Tourism Research Institute at UWL, and Brent Hannafol, marketing director at Explore La Crosse. And Brent, you know, we've been talking a lot about how, you know, tourism is important to the La Crosse area, but can you talk a little bit about how big of an industry it really is? You know, do we have kind of a dollar amount or a sense of kind of how important tourism is to the greater La Crosse area?
Well, just to give you an idea, we're ninth in visitor spending throughout every county in Wisconsin. After those, the people after us are either much larger populations or just entities that just have an exorbitant, a little bit more money to spend on those sort of resources. So we're doing very well. But if you look at visitor spending and the economic impact on businesses, it's like $600 million in 2015. So it's, you know, it's a big industry for us. You know, you think of all the people that are working at shops, restaurants, bars. You know, it's a good amount of population. If those jobs were gone, you'd see a significant difference.
And do you think that, I don't know, La Crosse has a benefit from being right on the river? You know, maybe we can pull tourism from both Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's why there's the investment from Wisconsin with the new $45 million investment in the La Crosse Center. They don't do that a lot with a lot of different centers around the area, but since we are right on the border of Minnesota and Iowa and those sort of things, we can attract all those different groups and associations to have that experience right on the river. So it's a great, great spot.
Yeah, and can you talk a little bit about kind of what's going on with expanding the La Crosse Center?
I can't go into it in great detail, but basically we're going to be the refocusing to, you know, focus on the river, you know, using that as an asset, creating a pathway that people can walk throughout the whole entire center. Right now they have multiple entries. They're going to make it so it's accessible all the way around. You know, update the center, potentially new seats. You know, they have a wide gamut that are trying to improve. But it's just going to make it look all around aesthetically pleasing. And the thing is they do really well. I mean, they've been, you know, they've been in the black for many years. So it's not like they have an issue with bookings. Sometimes we have issues with too many people here.
And Daniel, can you talk a little bit about how the Tourism Research Institute, you know, might be able to work with the La Crosse Center as it kind of approaches this new expansion?
Well, some of the ways I suppose that the Institute could work with the La Crosse Center is tied to some of the things that Brent mentioned. One, you can look at gathering information from current users and attendees, you know, conferences, conventions that are already coming to the area to use the convention center. And this, some of the things might have been already done by the convention center, but getting their input on how that will, the improvements that are being made will affect their decisions to continue to come to La Crosse. That's, you know, incredibly important. We have, as Brent even mentioned, you know, most weekends, at least weekends at a minimum at the La Crosse Center are probably booked, not just, you know, in the year to come, but for years to come. And, you know, they are doing quite well, and the expansion is probably more so even to meet current demand as opposed to really bringing in more business, but it'll help with that as well, especially if you're looking to attract larger events. But then just, you know, to research that can be done down the road is even looking at things like the economic impact of maybe new events that are brought to the area and the impacts that that's had on the community once more events start to come here, or even as current events are able to expand because the facility is now larger.
And we've been talking about, you know, how businesses can really benefit from kind of partnering with the Institute in the future and kind of working on some of this research. And Daniel, I wonder if, you know, maybe you guys have already reached out to local businesses or have organizations in mind that you're hoping to work with in the future.
Well, one of the representatives is sitting directly to my right, Brent, there. We have had several conversations with Explore La Crosse or La Crosse County CVB about some potential projects in the future to do, particularly even related around events, but also pertaining to visitor perceptions of the area as a whole as well. I've had other conversations, for example, with the Outdoor Recreation Alliance to look at how the Institute could help them, communicate the benefits of some of the recreational opportunities that we have in the area and the benefits that those opportunities can have on tourism as well.
Brent, you know, we've been talking a lot about kind of tourism within the city of La Crosse, but I think there's also, you know, tourism opportunities in more rural areas as well. Agritourism has, you know, become increasingly more popular as, you know, everything from kind of U-pick style apple orchards in the area to corn mazes, other opportunities. You know, is this an area that you think La Crosse County is doing or maybe could, you know, do better?
I mean, we can always do better, and, you know, the market kind of drives that. But, you know, we mentioned already, you know, some of the things with fly fishing. Viroqua is one of, you know, it's world-renowned, not necessarily in La Crosse County, but, you know, just down the road is, you know, the North Skidanda Heritage Center, which is in La Crosse County, and it's just an opportunity to get immersed in, like you stated, agritourism-related activities, history, and culture. But, you know, those rural communities are, you know, kind of what gives the whole La Crosse County kind of that quaint sort of feel. And, you know, it's great for the drives, for people to stop in when they're checking out the bluffs. They're a major component of what drives people to the area. The size of La Crosse is perfect to me. You can get from, you know, one end to the other in a pretty efficient way. So getting out to these different communities, you can be, you know, you can be out in the bluffs in a matter of minutes on your bike. Out in farmland areas. So, yeah, I mean, we do have those opportunities, but of course they'll develop as we go.
And is there, you know, Daniel, is the Research Institute hoping to, you know, are you guys hoping to focus just on the city or maybe explore some of these more rural tourism opportunities?
So the Institute itself, obviously, it is located in La Crosse, but our resources and what we're able to do extend to really any organization. So our focus tends to be regional because, as we talked about earlier, organizations like our Institute exist throughout the country. Many organizations will probably choose to go with a more local company like us if that are in other states. But we are open to working on projects for any organization, not just La Crosse or La Crosse County, but you know throughout the Midwest or really if you're located in California and want to work through the La Crosse Tourism Research Institute, you're welcome to contact us.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new tourism research center at UW-La Crosse and how it could help businesses and community leaders expand the industry. We're here with Daniel Plunkett, director of the new Tourism Research Institute, and Brent Hannafil from Explore La Crosse. And Oktoberfest is obviously another huge, I guess, attraction for tourists and something that La Crosse seems to be known for. And, you know, Brent, I wonder if you could talk about, how Oktoberfest and the way, I guess, it attracts people has changed or maybe its impact on the community. We've talked a lot about hotels going up in the area. And I wonder if you could talk about, you know, how this festival has kind of impacted things.
Well, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, you know, has put La Crosse, Wisconsin on a national stage. It's on many top lists for best, Oktoberfest in the nation. The word gets out, you know, every Oktoberfest with things like old style light coming back to La Crosse that had a bunch of earned media all over the country. And just the culture of it, you know, it's been going strong for so long. Just the economic impact, I don't know the exact numbers of that weekend, is huge. You know, it's also, you know, it's a family entertainment, but it's also kind of like a giant reunion, but also a attractor for people to the area.
And Brent, you know, we've been talking about kind of new tourism attractions, you know, things like the Midwest Music Festival. That's a fairly new festival. And I wonder how the Institute could serve both kind of a longstanding tourism attraction like Oktoberfest and maybe these newer tourism opportunities that are popping up. You know, what do the two need and maybe that are similar, maybe that are different?
So some of the things that are similar that can be done is, Oktoberfest has recently, or some organizations have recently done this for Oktoberfest. It is looking at sort of the economic impact of the events. I believe in 2015, three organizations at the same time looked at the economic impact of Oktoberfest just to show how big of an impact it does have on the area. So something similar that new events like the Midwest Music Festival might want to do to show the value that it's bringing to the community. But we also look at in tourism other aspects of how it impacts the community. So social perceptions of that, and how do your residents perceive the benefits or the values of what's coming to the area, because it's always good with tourism to bring more visitors to the area, right? They have some great impacts, but those visitors also have an impact on your community, and the people that live here are affected by tourism probably more so than the people that are coming here for experiences. So especially as events get large, the scale of Oktoberfest being probably the biggest example that we have locally, you know, that's going to have an impact on your community. And as an event, you want to be aware of how your community is responding to that.
I think the Midwest Music Festival, and that's coming up in a few weeks here, is a really interesting example of kind of a grassroots effort to maybe start something. And Brent, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, those sorts of efforts and how, you know, they're good for tourism and the industry in our area.
Well, talking about the Midwest Music Festival, I mean, it's just a great event that I think just brings more recognition to lacrosse. You know, bringing in, I think, something like 200 bands over that weekend is just really exciting for everybody in the community. Last year was their first inaugural year. They've been down in Winona for a few years before that. But just the excitement in the air, you know, they sold, I believe, over 1,000 tickets. Downtown was packed. Pearl Street Brewery had a significant other people coming through. It just seemed lively. People were talking about it. You know, mentioning the grassroots efforts, you know, to put that sort of a thing together is very intensive. You know, lots of collaboration. We work with Midwest Music Festival. Downtown Main Street works with them. Various businesses, various hotels, all realizing the value of that event, and they're embracing it.
Do you think that we're going to need to see, I guess, more of those sorts of kind of new efforts to bring in people to the community to keep tourism, you know, growing in the area? Is just relying on staples like Oktoberfest and the things, you know, that have been happening in lacrosse for a long time enough? Or are we going to need to be kind of creating new things?
Yeah, we have no problem with filling rooms on the weekends, you know, or, you know, sometimes maybe even the weekdays, you know. So things that we try to bring in through those, I would say, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are sort of those groups and associations, which can be very exciting sort of organizations. You know, we've had quite a few come through the area, associations you would never think of for events. You know, maybe events thinking about utilizing those weekdays to not compete with those various different activities is something that, you know, maybe the UWL might do some sort of writer's workshop that they, you know, similar to what they do in Iowa. That's something that we would encourage kind of, but there's a lot of people coming on the weekends. So maybe festivals should focus on the weekdays as well.
And Daniel, you know, I guess, what are the biggest things that you feel like lacrosse can improve on in the tourism industry? You know, what are the things that maybe we aren't doing so well that we need to work on?
Well, for any organization looking to understand that, I would what to improve on, I would suggest they contact us and we could help them out with some research there. Knowing what to improve on needs that research because, you know, as we've discussed about earlier on, Brent mentioning the different groups that are identified that are wanting to come to the area, potential different groups that we could have for more events. You know, we were talking a lot about all of these opportunities and there's so many and it's hard to say this is what we need to do. Without that research, again, we're playing sort of that guessing game. What more events can we bring to the area? What do we need to create that's going to bring more visitors to the area? And since we haven't necessarily done that research yet, it's hard to give a definitive answer because all of these different groups are potentially looking for different experiences. So until you really understand what it is they're looking for, what's going to draw them to the area and then what you need to develop from that you can identify, you know, what you would want to develop or improve on that's going to bring them here.
And Brent, you know, from your perspective, what are things that you know, Explore Lacrosse feels like the, you know, the area needs to improve on, or challenges that we face right now for tourism?
I mean, just the ongoing getting the word out is something that we have to maintain, you know, staying top of mind for the visitor, kind of telling our story. It's an ongoing basis, you know, it's something that's consistent. You know, we send out a lot of different e-newsletters. You know, it's about talking about yourself. So other people start talking about you, start writing stories, start writing blogs, visiting, telling their friends. So it's just kind of a, you know, a continuation, a wave that we're trying to ride to get people to visit the area.
You mentioned several things, you know, kind of using social media, using blogs, using the internet. You know, I wonder, Daniel, from your perspective, how you kind of balance, attracting younger people, people who are going to use those sorts of avenues, but also attracting, I guess, older generations of tourists, who maybe aren't, using those sorts of resources to find their next tourism location.
Well, I think Brent and the rest of the Convention and Visitors Bureau are doing a great job already of marketing to all of those populations. Particularly reaching the younger crowd through digital media, it used to be a lot of traditional media that was used in the area, which probably did target an older demographic more so. But if you can see the changes on the website and on social media through Explore La Crosse, is they're doing a lot of great things that are going to target a younger demographic and let them know what's available here, what would interest them, why should they come to the area. And just to touch on another point that Brent mentioned, he keeps referring to telling our story and brand storytelling. There's more and more research that has came out in recent years about the value of storytelling. Storytelling has the ability to sort of immerse a person in an experience. So when you're marketing your destination and not just saying this is what we have to offer, but telling your story, that gives potential visitors the opportunity to mentally sort of experience that destination firsthand before they even make a trip. But that creates some emotional connections that entice them to want to visit. I think Travel Wisconsin just recently has been doing a lot of that with some of their ads that they have using following a family around that's comes here for 2 weeks every summer. It's not just about saying this is what we have to offer, but this is how real people are experiencing our destination. And La Crosse is sort of going in that way now, telling the story. It's not just we have this to offer, but this is what people love about our destination, and it's why you should love it too.
That's UWL Professor Daniel Plunkett here with us today to talk about regional tourism in light of a new tourism research program opening at UWL. Also joining us is Brent Hannafol from the La Crosse County Convention and Visitors Bureau, or Explore La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Daniel, talking about kind of how things are changing or how tourists are changing based on generation, I wonder if I guess the needs or the expectations that tourists have when they come to communities, if those are things that are kind of changing too.
One of the biggest things you see in travel right now is in terms of generations, it's really one of the biggest markets is the baby boomer market now. They're retiring and wanting to travel a lot more now. So, we talk about targeting the younger market who love to travel, of course. But right now with their available income to spend on travel, it's really, baby boomers are a huge market to travel. So you have to, consider their needs in terms of types of accommodations that they feel comfortable using, type of recreational opportunities that they want to have while here, interest in experiencing the local culture and what we have locally to offer is very important right now. People more so want to have an experience that's memorable and that they can talk about. So, having the opportunity to do something that locals do in any destination is important to give them that authentic experience.
Brent, is this something that Explore La Crosse is saying, that it's really this baby boomer generation that's driving tourism in the area, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a good market for us. We're attracting all ages and demographics to the area. We're really popular in the 35 to 45 market, but we're still popular to baby boomers. And to realize those different demographics, they're all reachable. I believe it's like 80% of people have cell phones in the United States, so they're on the same platforms as a 16-year-old kid or a 21-year-old, that my father is, who's in his 70s. So it's kind of a leveling the playing field to advertise to those individuals. So it's an opportunity that we're definitely investing in.
And, you know, you mentioned that kind of these are, you know, platforms that span the generations. But I wonder if with the fact that more people are using, you know, these sorts of platforms, if that means that more communities are also using these platforms. And I wonder how, you know, how can lacrosse stand out? How can we, you know, make ourselves stand out amongst the crowd?
I mean, it's just about telling our story. We keep circling back to it. But we have a unique perspective, I think, on life and on our culture. Me just visiting around the states, regionally around this area, you mentioned lacrosse. And, you know, I don't know how many times people have said, you know, I went to college there. I love it. I need to come back. I was just there last week. You know, it's something that just by the location we're in, the Bluffs, the river, we're going to tell our own story that's unique. We have our own food. We have our own, you know, craft breweries. We have our own local shops and businesses, everything from Wyatt Bikes to, you know, the various different entrepreneurs, you know. So it's its own unique experience.
We mentioned several times that the natural beauty of this region is really what attracts a lot of people from the Mississippi River to the Blufflands and the trails. And, you know, Daniel, I wonder if you can talk about, you know, how you make that more accessible to people visiting the area. I think that, you know, maybe locals have their favorite trails and have their favorite spots, but how do you make those things, I guess, more accessible to visitors who may not be familiar?
Just even using platforms that communicate where these opportunities are for visitors to access them, I think is important. And also, looking at ways that we can maybe further develop the area to gain accessibility, some might argue to maybe limit accessibility, right, as a way to protect what we have as well. So, you know, there's a balancing act there in terms of development. You want visitors to have access to these great natural resources that we have, but you also want to develop them in a way that they're going to be sustainable, so that you have both local residents that have the ability to use them and visitors without any conflict. You know, it's a matter, I think, for the most part, again, as Brent said, pretty much everyone is somewhat technological savvy. And if you go online and research what it is that you want to do in the area, you're going to have resources that are pulled up directing you to some of the places. You know, now if you're a business that's catering to a market, so maybe if you're an outfitter, you know, that's where it can be important to use platforms like various social media platforms, being on TripAdvisor, because we see a lot more visitors now using those online tools to identify what it is they want to do while visiting area, or even more so while they're here, quickly doing a search to figure out, I want to do this. What's the best way I can do that now? So, you know, if your organization's not online in some capacity, they potentially aren't going to find you.
We've been talking about, you know, all the different ways that tourism touches the community. And you know, there's a lot of players in this kind of industry. And I wonder if, Daniel, you can talk about how the new Tourism Research Institute might be a way to kind of bring everyone together under one, you know, roof to kind of, get a cohesive, I guess, understanding of tourism.
So, again, I think this is something Brent touched on earlier, is that getting more visitors coming to the area really benefits everyone. You know, new events popping up brings more visitors to the area, gets more people staying in hotels. They go out to eat at restaurants. They go and have recreational opportunities. So it's the Institute, as in terms of, you know, bringing everyone together, can really be a resource to conduct research to show how we're going to be able to probably sustainably bring more people to the area in a way that's going to offer them opportunities that they're going to want to have while they're here. And I think, you know, just by doing that, you're going to see that tourism-related businesses are going to benefit.
We've been talking with UWL Professor Daniel Plunkett and Brent Hannafel from the La Crosse County Convention and Visitors Bureau, or Explore La Crosse, about the new Tourism Research Institute at UW La Crosse and how it hopes to help area businesses. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.